to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. Enjoyed the singing just then, and also enjoyed that this morning, Stuart, as well. I like that song, but it brings a grave message. The one you sung this morning, it brings a grave message to those who's ignoring the fact of what a child is and when a child begins. John chapter number 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and she cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Let us see a truth in this. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Tonight I want to preach about how to get an audience with the Lord. How can you get the Lord to meet with you? Here we find Mary Magdalene. After Jesus has been raised and he's going to appear to many. But the first person he met was Mary Magdalene. Amen. Now you go back in Luke chapter 8 and you can read about Mary. Now Mary was from Magdala. And that's why they called her Mary Magdalene. The Bible says that she was cured, that he was able to heal her of evil spirits and infirmities. As a matter of fact, in Luke there, it says that Jesus had cast out 7 demons out of Mary. Now, Mary must have been a pretty wicked woman. Walking around with 7 demons inside of her and the things going on inside of her. And so Jesus was able to heal her. Now the question is, why did Jesus come and speak to Mary before he spoke to anybody else? Now later on, he's going to speak to Peter. Now remember, Peter is in a bad situation. Peter he's went, and last time he saw the Lord, he looked upon him, and when he looked upon Peter, Peter just got through cursing and just began, he just got through denying Jesus three times and cock crowed. And Jesus looked, and Peter went out to the hillside and he wept bitterly. But he hadn't got to see Jesus since. And Jesus was crucified, put in the grave. And so therefore, I'm sure that Jesus wanted to see Peter. It wasn't long. As a matter of fact, in the next chapter, we find Peter went back fishing, and Jesus went to find Peter. And remember when he said, "Simon Peter, son of Barjona, lovest thou these more than me?" And so, therefore, he had a desire to see Peter, but yet he saw and he met with Mary Magdalene first. Then, of course, the Bible also tells us here in John that he runs in that one song that Stuart sings sometimes about the two men on the road to Emmaus. They were going the wrong way, and Jesus went with them. And so he talked to them, and I'm sure he was anxious to tell them some things that he told them. But yet, even though he had desired to go see them, he still took time to meet with Mary first. Then the Bible also says that here, not only was Peter there, but the other disciple whom Jesus loved. We know that to be John from the scriptures. And John was John the Beloved. Several times in the Bible talks about how that John loved the Lord, but it talks about more how the Lord loved John. John was a disciple beloved of the Lord. As a matter of fact, he was the only apostle that didn't have to die a cruel death of being martyred. He was put out on the island of Patmos and was able to die there, an old man. All the rest of them had their years cut short because of their testimony of Christ. I don't know if that was because of the Lord's love for John, but even though he loved John, he didn't go to John first. He went to Mary Magdalene. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about Mary, but what it does tell us about is it tells us that she was the last one to leave the cross, and she's the first one to meet Jesus. Amen. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, we find her with a couple other women coming to the sepulcher. I don't know if they had come and the other ladies had left and she'd come back. I don't know what it was, but anyway, Mary was here. Now, when you look back in your Bibles, notice if you would, the Bible says in verse 1 that the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulcher and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And so when she did come, there was a lot of things that Mary didn't understand. Now, you got to remember her past. She come and she had seven demons inside of her. She probably had all kinds of things in her life. Some things that you probably would not even want to know that she probably experienced because of those demons living within her. There was a lot of knowledge that she did not have. But yet the Lord still chose her above everybody else. It was not her knowledge, but she had that the Lord was attracted to, but it was her desire to see the Lord and be with the Lord. She had a tremendous spirit, and she desired to be there. And so here, she treasures the Lord above everything else. She's more interested, in the Lord than anybody else around there. As a matter of fact, look if you would in verse 2. In verse 2, the Bible says she runneth and cometh Simon Peter and to the other disciple, which is John. And therefore they ran to the sepulcher. And then, you know, as I read, they looked inside and they saw the clothes laying there and the napkin and all that. And there's a little truth in the napkin I'm not going to get into tonight. But anyway, after Peter and John looked, the Bible said John believed, but he also went on. And the Bible said verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And even though Jesus had told them in the book of Matthew four different times, Jesus had told his disciples that he must die. But still they did not get it. They were not expecting it. As a matter of fact, you look at the way they responded when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary And only John was there with Mary, the mother of Jesus. But the rest of them, the Bible says Peter followed afar off and different things happened. But anyway, you could tell that they were not ready for Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary. It took them by surprise. Even though he had shared that with them, the Bible says that even though John believed, he did not know the scripture yet concerning the resurrection of Jesus. And so therefore, that he would have to rise from the dead. And so Mary, she was outside weeping. Now notice if you would in verse 10, the Bible says, then the disciples went away unto their own home. After Peter and John saw the empty tomb, they left and they went back home. Mary did not. The Bible says in the very next verse, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. In other words, she was missing the Lord. She had no other place to go. Her only desire was to see the Lord. Even though she was expecting to see his dead body, she did not yet understand that he is resurrected. She was not expecting to see a risen Lord. She was expecting to see a dead body. But she was missing him so much. She just wanted to be there, and she was sitting there weeping. And so, therefore, the Lord was all that meant. She didn't want to go back to her house like Peter and John did. She just wanted to stay there weeping. Look on, if you would, in verse number 11 again. The Bible says, and Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down, she looked in the sepulchre, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Now notice here a couple things. She was so fixed with wanting to see the Lord that she wasn't even surprised or frightened with the angels. She didn't respond to the angels. They said, woman, why weepest thou? And she didn't fall at the angels' feet and faint like Daniel and John did. She said she's seeking the Lord. She wanted to know where they laid him. And she wasn't interested in going back home with Peter. And she wasn't interested in being with John. And she wasn't interested in the angels. She's interested in one thing, the Lord. And so because of her interest in the Lord, then we find in verse 13, the Bible says, and they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken my Lord. Now notice the personal pronoun. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So when she turned around, and even though, as I said, four times Jesus told them that he was going to die and be resurrected, she didn't know. And so she was looking for the body of Jesus. And so whenever she saw someone standing there, she thought it was a gardener. But she still had such a hunger and thirst for the Lord. And the Bible says, and when she had turned thus, she turned herself, saw Jesus standing, and knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now notice here that she had her heart on nothing else but to get with Jesus. That's where her desire was. That's where her longing was. Now, and so here, even though Jesus was present, she didn't recognize it. And so she was ignorant to the fact that he was going to be resurrected, as I said. And so I want you to notice that when she had that hunger and thirst, that the Lord found her. Now I'm going to tell you something. The reason why that we don't have the Lord to meet with us is we don't have the hunger and thirst for the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Everything else in our life is attracting us away from the Lord. And we wonder when we're having all these issues why that we're not meeting with the Lord. But when we get where the Lord's the only thing in our life that we're going to meet and that can meet us and help us, and we have a great desire and nothing else matters, the Lord will find you. The Bible says that he'll find those that seek him. And so therefore, if you look on, the Bible said this in verse 15. She told the gardener, she said, tell me where he is and I'm going to go take him away. Now, I don't know how strong Mary Magdalene was. I can only imagine, since she'd been healed of 7 demons and also infirmities, which means sicknesses and illnesses and weaknesses, I imagine she was a pretty frail woman. But love has no boundary. She loved the Lord and she wanted to find him, and she was going to find some way, if she found him, to taking him away. All she wanted to know from the gardener was, where was he laid? She wanted him to be able to get him and take him away. Now, notice here also, the Bible says, and by the way, that revealed what a longing she had. She had such a longing to meet with the Lord. Now, Peter and John, they went back home. But she stayed there weeping. She wanted one thing to meet. And she thought she was just going to meet with a dead body, but she loved him so much, she wanted to take his body away, and she wanted to put anoint it with fragrances and spices and give him a proper burial and do the things that need to be done because of her love. Then notice in verse 16, and Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, and which is to say, Master. One word, the Lord speaking her name, she knew immediately who he was. When the Lord speaks and he calls you, you know exactly who he is. Amen. There's times when the Lord is saying things to us and we don't hear. But when he speaks her name, it's unmistakable. It's like a shepherd with a sheep. I know Steve and Linda lost their dog they've had for a long time. I had a dog not long ago and got killed too. I didn't have it near like they did, but I kept the dog and I'd got it where I trained it to do so many things. And all I'd have to do anywhere I was at is just speak her name. If I spoke her name, here she come. And if she knew I was around and she heard me speak her voice, or she knew my voice, she would come running. And sometimes I'd get ready, and every time I'd get ready to leave, she was outside dog, and every time I get ready to leave, I'd go get in the car, and you can ask Chris, she'd come around to my door. I'd have to open my door, pet her, tell her I'd be back in a few minutes to stay and watch the place, and she'd turn around, she'd walk away, and she'd sit and wait for me to come back. The moment I come back, she'd be around back sometimes with the air conditioner running. She wouldn't hear me. And Chris said, well, she must be gone. I said, no, she doesn't hear me. I said, quick, she hears my voice, she'll come. And quick as I'd speak, she'd hear my voice. Here she come running, galloping around the house. When the Lord speaks, you recognize and respond to his voice. And so here, even though Mary thought, because of her ignorance of understanding everything that was going on, that Jesus was a gardener, but quickly spoke her name, she knew exactly who he was. And so there, if you notice here, the Bible says that there was no more reason there for her to weep. Then she just said, Rabboni, which is say master. And in verse 17, Jesus saith to her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And so, but go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. A couple things here very important. Some people said, why did he not allow her to touch him? Well, you got to remember, she is a first person that the Lord appears to. He has been down in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. He has went down there, and there was some things he had to do down there. We don't understand everything that he did, but we know that he went down there, and when he resurrected, he brought with him the keys of death and hell. He went down there and he won the victory over death, over hell. If you don't go to hell, it'll be because Jesus is your key. He has a key. He's the one that saved you. If you, the fact that you don't have to die and go to hell anymore is because of what Jesus did those 3 days and three nights. He faced the wrath of God. He had to go down into hell, and he went down there, and he had to taste death for every man.
Amen.
Not only that, but he also preached the spirits that was once disobedient in the days of Noah. He went and preached to them while he was down there. And then you find that he resurrected, and now he's got a job to do. He's got to take his blood up to the Holy of Holies as a priest. A priest on the Day of Atonement, when he would go in before the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, he would have to change his garment. He had to put on his breeches. He had to clean and wash himself. No one could touch him after he cleaned himself. No one could touch him until he ascended into the Holy of Holies and delivered the blood upon the mercy seat and put it where God had required it. Well, Jesus was clean. He met all the requirements. He took on the sin of the whole world.
Amen.
He paid the price for the sin. The sin had been removed from him. And now he was back to himself where he had no sin. He was clean.
Amen.
But he had to take his blood for the sins of the world up to the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat of God. And so therefore he could not be touched. The high priest, every year when he prepared himself, no one could touch him. If they touched him, they defiled him. And God would not accept him, and God would kill him the moment he came into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God before the Ark of the Covenant. And so therefore, he had to keep himself clean. Jesus refused to let her touch him until he did the work that needed to be done. And so therefore, he ascended up. Now some people said, well, he didn't want to touch her because he knew that she loved him so much she would just cling to him and not want him to leave. Well, that's probably true too, but that was not the reason. The reason why is he was doing the work of a high priest. He was taking the blood to the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat of God. Therefore, because of the blood of Jesus, God now looks upon you and me as sinners. Once we believe in what Jesus and what he done upon the cross of Calvary, he looks upon us and he sees us as righteous. He could not do that looking upon us. He has to look through the blood of Jesus, through the mercy seat.
Amen.
It was so important to get the blood up there. And so Jesus took his blood and laid it at the mercy seat of God.
Amen.
Then he come back down. He was seen of John. He was seen of Peter. He was seen of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He was seen of all the disciples. He was saw of Thomas that doubted. He was saw of 500 brethren at once. And Paul said, I even got to see him on the road to Damascus. And my point is that it was very important, the work that Jesus was doing. But yet he still took time because of the desire that Mary had to see him. He took time to see her.
Amen.
Then also notice here that he says, but go to my brethren and say unto them. Now it's important to note this. There's a couple times that he made reference to people as his brethren. One was, and the main one was, most of the time, when the Bible talked in the Gospels before this time of brethren, it talks about brothers and sisters. In other words, James and John was brethren. Peter and Andrew was brethren. And sometimes the Bible talked about the brethren of Jesus. In other words, Jude and some of them, that was his brothers. They were his brethren. Now, the only time that Jesus referred to other people as his brethren was when Mary and some had come to see him, and they said, Lord, your mother and brethren is out there. He said, who is my mother and who is my brother? And remember that? And he said, these are my mother and my brother. But what he did was, and the thing to understand was, when he went up to the cross of Calvary, or he went up into heaven, he accomplished something. Now let me show you this real quick before I close. But look, if you would, in Matthew, keep your finger here, and look in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, most of the time when Jesus would talk about brethren, he would refer to others, but not himself as their brethren. in chapter 23 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "But be not ye called, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Now, let me say this. This is Jesus, he's denouncing the Pharisees, and they were sort of like some of the priests and so forth, and some Catholicism and so forth. They want to be declared as your father. Don't ever refer to them as father. They're not your father. And the Bible says, call no other man father. It's talking about spiritual fathers like that. Because the Pharisees wanted this recognition as well. And Jesus said, there's only one, which is Father in heaven. But if you keep your finger there, and notice if you would in Matthew chapter 28, or keep your finger back over in John, and go to Matthew chapter 28. And notice in verse 10, the Bible says, "Then Jesus said to them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now here he is resurrected, and now he's calling them his brethren. But now notice here, this is the first time that he refers to them as his brethren, back in John here to Mary. And he said, go tell my brethren. Now the reason why, and keep your finger there one more time, and go with me to Hebrews chapter number 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, it's a simple point, but it's an important point. In Hebrews chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 9. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." That's what I was talking about. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many," what? "Sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." In other words, when Jesus did the work upon Calvary, then what he did was he allowed all of us to become brethren with him. We are now joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. Everything in heaven was with us. That's why he told Mary, if you turn back to John, and remember now, Mary was the first one to see him after he had resurrected. He said, "Now you go tell my brethren." And you go tell them, now look what he tells them. He said, "You go tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father." Amen. He said, "Now that I've accomplished what I did, now you have a Father. Now he is your Father." He said, "And to my God and your God." In other words, he said, "Now I've accomplished these things. I've accomplished them to allow you to become sons of God." And so therefore, if Jesus had not went through all that process, you say, well, the Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Yes, to receive him how? Because of his work upon Calvary. It all goes back to what he did upon Calvary in his death, burial, and resurrection. And the fact that he died and was buried and resurrected and died for our sins. And when he ascended up to heaven, he said, "You go tell them I've ascended up to heaven. And now my Father is your Father. My God is your God. And now we are all brethren. Now we are brethren with Jesus." Because he became the first son of God to go back up into heaven after resurrection. Now that doesn't mean that he ever ceased being God. But here he was come, he was made the Son of Man, even though he was always the Son of God. But when he was made the Son of Man, he died, and he was the first one that died and went to heaven. He was the first fruit. Then, if you notice, after his resurrection, everybody in Abraham's bosom, was the graves burst open, he took them up to heaven. They're no longer in the lower parts of the earth. Now they're up in heaven with Jesus. But Jesus was the first one there, and he went up there, and he had to go up there, and he had to take care of those business, and he had to establish a fact and make it where now we can all be part of his family. All because of what he did. And so he told Mary, he said, "This is an important message." He said, "You go tell him I've ascended. And my Father is now your Father. My God is now your God." And then the Bible says, Closing out in verse number 18, the Bible says that Mary Magdalene came, told the disciples she had seen the Lord and he had spoken these things to her. She left there satisfied. But my point is this. Of all the people that Jesus could meet with first, he met with this woman that had a past of being possessed with demons. The Bible doesn't say much about her. Some people try to put her in chapter 7, but I don't think that's who she is. But the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about her. Up to this point. But then Jesus, he was so moved by her desire to see him. He met with her. When we get to a place in our life when we are so troubled, no one else or nothing else matters, and we have desire to see only him, he'll meet with us.
Amen.
Our problem is this. We don't desire to enough. And that's why we miss out on meetings when we could have meetings with him. Amen. So let's stand tonight if you would.
Page 9.
Maybe God has spoke to your heart tonight about something.